All right, another episode of Inside Out in Copenhagen. Today we're at Economics, and we are with... Please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Ole Gyldal Hansen. I'm a senior developer here at Economic. I have been with Economic for, more or less from the start. Okay. I was working on the very first lines of code.
Nice.
The story of Economic is very much a story about growth. It started with the founder, Jacob Wendt, having this idea about a completely online accounting system that would allow accountants and their customers to work directly through a web browser. Mm. I kind of lost it there. Mm. And the system was built using the state-of-the-art technologies at that time, which were Windows, and at that time just ASP, mm-hmm. Now referred to as classic ASP, and using SQL Server 7 at that point, but soon to be SQL Server 2000, as the backing store for all data for all customers. The system was built, and it took a while to get people to accept the idea that you could have all your data online. The software as a service idea was not into many people's head at 2002, I guess.
Sure.
Perhaps Economic was a bit ahead of its time at that point, so it was a slow start, but it caught on. And people have been using the system ever since in growing numbers. I think we're getting around 500 customers
nice.
Every month. And it's a subscription-based system.
Okay. So let me just ask a couple questions here in the sense that...
Yes.
So if I own a small pizza shop and I want to have accounting, so I want to be able to have set up some sort of pay system or... some sort of financial infrastructure, but I don't want to hire an accountant. What you're telling me is I can use your service to take care of my stuff online.
Yes, you can. You should probably have an accountant as well, at least as an advisor. Mm-hmm. You can do all the bookkeeping yourself, and we have a lot of customers that does this. And then once a year, they contact their accountant to help them to actually file
a
report. But you can pay this quite small fee actually every month, and then you have access to this online accounting system where you can book all your expenses. You can write invoices, perhaps as a pizza store. That's not very interesting. Mm-hmm. But if you are like a consultant, an independent consultant, mm-hmm. or a larger firm, you can write your invoices to your customers. Through Economic, you can type in the lines, and then you can have the file emailed as a PDF file directly to the customer.
Excellent.
We also have bank integration to from inside Economic can authorize payments and send the payment orders directly to your net bank, and you can have feeds from net banks, so you can match incoming payments from your customers to invoices. So it has grown into a rather large accounting system, and it's all purely working on web browser, so people don't have to install anything.
Excellent.
We have a lot of Mac users that way also.
Sure. And let's talk a little bit about software as a service, because
yes.
The classic definition of a service would be the client is virtually irrelevant, and you're passing data back and forth. So essentially, you could take your model, and could you bring it on-premise? So in other words, what if you have customers come to you that are a little concerned about you handling their data, mm-hmm. but rather would like to use your infrastructure in their local system?
Then we basically convince them to use our infrastructure. Economic is, right from the start, was geared towards small to perhaps medium-sized enterprises who had no interest in hosting their own software. But we have some rather large customers who are using our infrastructure. Mm. So we don't sell the code as such. We only sell the service. Mm. And people have been rather happy about it. Sure. Which also means, of course, we're handling all the backup and security of the system, keeping the things running, mm-hmm. upgrading as needed, because with 500 customers coming to every month, we have to continuously add more web servers, add more RAM to the database,
sure.
Upgrade the internet lines, all that stuff, mm-hmm. That's a huge deal for smaller customers.
Do you have any customers that have their own internal system, but aspects of an interface with your services?
Yes.
So they call out to your stuff when they need you.
Yes. I guess the classic example is people having a web shop. Economic doesn't provide a web shop, so if you're going to actually sell some things online, you have to get a web shop from somewhere else, build it yourself, or buy sure. one of the other web shops as a service products that are there. Mm-hmm. We expose a web service that allows you to interface to a lot of functionality in Economic. So this means that when your customer goes accesses your web shop and he wants to buy this item, the web shop interfaces to Economic to ask how many items do we have in stock of this product, and then Economic keeps record of all the items. Which means that the customer has an up-to-date view of the stock, of course. Then when the customer places an order in the web shop, this order is transferred as an order in Economic. Mm. Of course, you have to manually pack and ship the stuff, and in that process, you can just click book, and then the invoice for the order is booked in the system and emailed as a PDF file if you want, directly to the customer. So this means that Economic can handle the stock management and all the payment stuff
yeah.
that goes on.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's great. So I mean, certainly the future is software plus services, right? Mm. That's what we call it, right?
Definitely.
Software plus services. Typically, that involves sort of a rich smart client where you could have, you know, background synchronization, offline storage, which could be useful, because the problem with purely web-based applications is that, well, they require an internet connection, mm-hmm. which, you know, can't always be guaranteed to be running.
Yes.
So are you thinking of doing anything with a smart client? Or because your services are sort of detached from, you know, the web page.
Yes. It's definitely a challenge to write these smart clients. Mm-hmm. We're not doing any work in that area as such. But we're partnering with independent software vendors who are, I'm not sure exactly what they're doing, but
sure.
they might be working on this, because this API allows you to access the data, to take data out from Economic and put it back in. And that gives you the tools to write these smart clients.
Yeah.
The public API also allows us to take advantage of other developers. We only have so much development power in-house, and there are a lot of very exciting projects that can be done. But this public API allows us to leverage independent software vendors and customers themselves.
Mm. Excellent.
And that's an enormous advantage.
Absolutely. So how does this API manifest itself? Is it Wiscl-based?
Yes.
And Suck into Visual Studio generates a stub class and I program away against it?
Yes. It is purely .NET web-based. So we have this web service class somewhere in our code, and that generates a Wiscl page. As a service, we have created the client part for our .NET using customers. We also have customers using PHP or Java, and they're using the tools available on those platforms to access the web service. So the web service part is completely standard-based.
Excellent. Was that challenging? To where it was completely standardized web service?
Yes, it was. I think we're back in the ASP.NET 1.1 days when we did this. And as far as I remember, there were some incompatibilities between the ASP.NET way of doing it and the standard. And then again on the client side, people were using tools on PHP and Java, and they too were not also very standards compliant. So interfacing two not completely standards compliant products can be a challenge.
Sure.
But it has been improved a lot, and I don't think we are seeing a lot of problems now. We had to do, I think when we added schema validation to the client's request, that gave us, that caught a lot of errors. Mm. We had a lot of people who were doing XML calls themselves, basically built an XML string, and they were not always well formed. And sometimes, even if they were well-formed, they were not valid. Mm. And that can manifest itself as subtle errors later. But when we added schema validation to the XML request on the client, that caught a lot of errors, and that has improved it a lot.
Excellent.
It might cost a bit of performance, but it's well worth it.
Sure. So you're basically, you're SOAP.
Yes.
You're SOAP on the line. Have you looked at all into WCF?
We haven't really had the time to see what's in there.
So one of the things we were talking about earlier was classic ASP versus ASP.NET. Mm-hmm. You mentioned since you wrote this initially before .NET existed, you didn't want to throw away all of your old code.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yes. Somewhere during the development, of course, when this started, it was all pure classic ASP SQL Server 2000, which they're a great match. Running on a single web server, or actually a single server. Mm-hmm. There's no separate database server, one server, Google server, and a SQL server. Mm-hmm. And that actually worked fine as long as you have, I don't know, perhaps less than a few hundred customers. That's what works great. Mm-hmm. And at some point when we began to add really complex business logic, that was when we added the stock management module. This is a big part of economic. At that point, C# was pretty mature, and there was ASP.NET, and we really liked to leverage the new tools, but the classic ASP and ASP.NET is not directly compatible. And so we chose sort of a middle way where we built the new hard business logic, we built that in C#, and then we called from the classic ASP, we use the COM integration to expose our .NET objects as COM objects, which are called from classic ASP. And that has brought us a long way, and that way we could slowly expand our .NET code base without breaking or having to rewrite our classic ASP code base.
Sure.
If we wanted to sometimes we had to move a function from classic ASP to .NET, because we can call from classic ASP, we can call a .NET object exposed as a COM object, but it's difficult to call the other way. Mm-hmm. If you're inside a .NET object, how can you call a function defined in VBScript? We really found no easy way to do that. So we rewrote some of the important functions in .NET to be able to call them.
Excellent.
At some point, we also wanted to add ASP.NET pages, not just .NET code running behind the scenes, but actually using ASP.NET. So up to that point, people have only seen .ASP pages in the site, but now they are also beginning to see ASPX pages. The session state is, of course, a big part of economic. The customers have to be separate, so they have to log in to the system. And we use ordinary ASP session management to handle this. Classic ASP keeps the session state purely in web server memory, whereas ASP.NET can do this, called in prod mode, but you can also put it into either a service or directly into the SQL server.
Sure.
We found a third-party tool called StateStitch from a company called ConsenCare that allows classic ASP to use the ASP.NET way of handling sessions. Mm-hmm. So we configured our ASP.NET site or pages to use an SQL server as a store for session, and then we used this tool to use the same SQL server for the classic ASP sessions. So you can log in on a classic ESP page, and then you can access a .NET page that knows you are this user that has just logged in. And this has worked up till now, and it's still working, of course.
Are you thinking about, you know, so you mentioned slowly but surely, you know, moving completely to ASP.NET?
Yes, very much. And that is our big work in progress right now. We have added considerable developers to our team. So we are working on restructuring the code base and also make it easier for new people to get in. And this sort of layered approach where we have both classic ASP and then various frameworks using .NET, it makes it harder for new people to get in. So we're working on restructuring it slowly but surely. Mm-hmm. So our new pages and what we're working on right now, that's state of the art. That ASP.NET 3.5.
Excellent.
And we're using the new Ajax framework very much. Mm. That has been that's the hot stuff here at Canonical right now. We're working on improving the speed on which the customers can enter data into the system. Accounting may basically just be sort of a spreadsheet where you are entering all the vouchers that you have lying in a pile of paper. Mm. So we're working on improving the speed at which the customers can type, and that almost screams for Ajax. So instead of you entering a record, then you click OK. You have to wait for the page to refresh. That sort of interrupts a lot of the old accountants.
Absolutely.
They're used to fat clients, but this is not a problem.
So
we're really excited about that.
Excellent. Did you leverage generics at all, or Link?
Generics we use all the time. I'm a big fan of static typing, so we're using a lot of generics. We're also using sort of a custom built code generation to where we're defining our entities in the system in XML, and we're building interfaces to make it easier to code the business logic. We are using Link in a couple of places, but we're not using Link as an interface to the database.
Yes.
We're only using Link on in-memory structures where it works wonderfully.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I think people get kind of confused sometimes. They think Link means Link to SQL.
Mm.
But, you know, basically you can have Link to anything.
Yes.
And we'll have that video on Channel 9 soon where we talk to Eric Meyer about that.
Oh, yeah.
So you probably want to check that out.
Yeah, definitely.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Love the concise way you can write queries just algorithms on in-memory structures.
Sure.
And it performs wonderfully.
Absolutely.
At least on in-memory structures. Database is a little more advanced.
Yeah.
And we have worked for several years on tuning our SQL. We have, I guess at the moment, around 1,000 customers online hitting a single SQL server instance. That places a lot of strain on the database, so we are continuously working on optimizing the SQL and making sure there are no deadlocks, people don't get in each other's way. That's definitely a challenge.
Absolutely.
But up to now, SQL Server is up to the task.
Sure. Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yes.
Any feedback you have for these people back in Redmond? Microsoft? Anything you need? You wish for?
The product I mentioned before, called StageStitch, has doesn't sell it anymore. They consider it obsolete. But we're one of the customers that still has, I don't know, from around 20 to 50% of our code base is still classic ASP. Mm. And this session handling, MSDN actually has a description of how we can write this tool yourself. It will help us a lot if that had been wrapped up in a product. Mm. Apart from that, I'm very much looking forward to seeing what what we can use, Link, perhaps WCF, yes. Also, I was thinking, I can't remember that.
Sure.
But a lot of the new stuff that we have been so caught up in this Ajax thing, so we haven't really have time to investigate that very much. Oh yes, the new entity framework. We evaluated it, I don't know, a year or so ago, perhaps a half a year, and found it, we didn't want to rely completely on that at that point.
Sure.
That might change in the future. We're definitely looking forward to it.
So, I mean, that actually brings up a really interesting point, because when a lot of what we do, myself, especially since I work in Redmond, and a lot of the Channel 9 stuff I do is targeted at the people who think up these new products. What is it like being on the outside and looking at all these new products coming your way? I mean, how do you decide like what you're going to use?
It is difficult. You just try to keep up on the online medias that include MSDN. I've seen Channel 9 is a good thing, and that's also why I agreed to this interview. I've seen a lot of very exciting interviews with Anders Heisberg, not the least. I'm very much looking forward to C# 4. I'm very curious about exactly what is going to be shipped.
Are you going to go to PDC?
Unfortunately not. I'm getting married somewhere around that time, so
that's
not possible. Yes, it is.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, we will stream the PDC on Channel 9, so you'll be able to see it, all the sessions and keynotes.
Yes.
So you'll be all right.
Try to catch up on that.
Cool. And we, of course, will have Anders talking about C# 4.0. Excellent, man. Well, hey, this is great to learn and see what you're doing. It sounds... I mean, the fact that you had the idea of software and services before it became the in thing is very cool. So I'm glad that you guys have capitalized and are successful on the idea that services are where it's at. It's really good. Well, hey, thank you for your time. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.